Is it okay I give you a energizer this morning? You might have hungover for last night, so this is something to think about, okay? If I tell you that the two pictures I'm going to show you are identical, I believe that I will lose my I will lose my credibility. Am I correct? Because let me show you what I mean. There. Are they identical? Therefore, I cannot pass that to you as identical, okay? That's why I said I will lose my credibility and I'll be lying to you. Now, having said that, would you like to count the differences? How many? Okay. Okay, how many say 10? Raise your hands. Higher, higher, higher. Okay, very good. How many say 9? Okay, very good. How many say 11? Okay, start counting. Eleven. Okay, 11, you see? Okay, I gave you the clue, I said 11. Nobody believed me because I lost my credibility. Okay, so now it's quits, right? So you're going to believe me now. Everything that I'm going to say to you, you're going to believe me, right? So long as it is backed up by Scripture. Okay, so before we begin, why don't we commit our time to the Lord? Father God in heaven, we just thank you for the past year. Indeed, it is a wonderful year that we are looking forward to. Thank you for all the trials in our lives, the blessings, the challenges, the disappointments. But we know, Lord, that we can face the blessed 2017 because you are with us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. And so, Lord, as we look into your word this morning, again, I confess to you my total inadequacy. Will you just be the one to help me? Be the one to allow me to sort out scriptures and allow me to be error-free as I deliver your message this morning. And it is only one prayer of my heart, and that is to lift up your name this morning and that your people may be blessed in the process. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to first start with a true story. Okay, now I have permission from this couple to say the story. You know, there was a couple that was approached by their relatives. This happened about 7 or 8 years ago. And these relatives of the couple apparently stumbled and found valuable shares of stock that they wanted to encash. The only problem is that the mother of the couple is the authorized signatory in order for it to be encashed. That's why they went to the couple to ask the help so that the mom can sign shares of stock and so that they encash it. Now, they proposed or asked sharing of 50-50. You see, this family are not entitled to a 50-50 sharing because this family is the second family. And you know, legally, they will just have a small percentage. However, because the couple wanted to be of help to the this family, these relatives, they agreed to a 50-50 split. And so all of the arrangements, the agreements verbally, were put in writing, and the two sides signed. Okay? So, not long after, the sale started, and there was remittance of 50% to the couple and 50% to the family, until about 4 transactions. And then the 5th transaction, the remaining balance was 15%, okay? And so the couple waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. To no avail, the remittance did not come. And so we believe that that situation you can call broken promise. Will you agree? It's a broken promise. In other words, news was heard that somehow the proceeds was used by the family. Okay? However, this story did not end there. Would you like to hear the rest of the story?
Yes.
You sure you like to hear the rest of the story?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you later, okay? In case I forget, please remind me. Okay, sometimes I have senior moments. Okay, now let's look at the passage. Now, I don't know about you, but do you have prayer requests that you bring to the Lord? Many, many prayer requests. Excuse me. It could be husband and wife relationships. Okay. Excuse me. I have to cough. It can be parent and child. It can be finances, health. It can be career, direction in life. Whatever it may be. Not only that, we have a lot of prayer requests, maybe in our mind, maybe even we don't even bring it to the Lord. And then it can somehow be like a wish list, okay? And then secondly, my question to all of us is this. Thank you. What is our waiting time? Have we been waiting for a day, a week, a month, some years, maybe a decade, and then we don't see any breakthrough in the prayer request that we have put before the Lord. That's why, thank you. That's why I chose this verse, and I believe that you and I can relate with the psalmist. Because look at the heart of the psalmist and the way he put what is in his heart. And if I can read, it says, "When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, sabi niya, I stretched out my untiring hands." So apparently, his hands were up to the Lord for quite some time because he cannot get tired. And then he says, "And I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint." How many of us here have experienced this kind of situation in our life, in our heart? That it is like a desperate and hopeless situation wherein there is no end, the light of the tunnel. And if you count the number of times for me, was used, can you figure out how many times it was used? See, you were able to figure out the difference between the two pictures, right? That's why that was my icebreaker. So now I will ask you. Very good, seven. Yeah, seven, okay. Now, can we relate with this psalmist? Maybe not 100%, but maybe 80, 85% we can relate, okay? Now, another continuation of this is this. In his mind, okay, because of his desperation, he was in distress. There are those negative thoughts that he struggled with. And he was able to articulate it in writing. And he said, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time?" Brothers and sisters, if we look at these two verses, immediately we can see four statements. Right? There are four statements that are mentioned here. Again, what is interesting to observe here is that the psalmist has experienced already the Lord. That's why he was able to put it in writing that has the Lord rejected forever? Because he has experienced answered prayers in the past. And he can look forward to the answered prayers in the future. And then he has also experienced favor from the Lord. He has also experienced unfailing love from the Lord. That's why he's able to put it in writing. And then he also said, has his promise failed? In other words, he has experienced the promises of God. So it is interesting to note here that even though he's in a helpless, hopeless situation, there seems to be a ray of life. What more when he now paints a nice picture of who God is? And I'm going to show you that. Look at this. It says, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? So notice again how God is described here. You and I, humans, we lie, we change our mind. Okay? I know some persons who change their minds after every 5 seconds. Okay? But I'm not referring to you, okay, the one here. I'm referring to somebody outside. Anyway, he says, does he speak and not act? In other words, God, when he says something, he has the capacity and the power to make it happen. Right? And then he also says, does he promise and not fulfill? In other words, when God gives a promise, definitely it will come to pass. There is no way humans can ever thwart what God has promised and what God has obligated himself to you and to me. Okay? So with that in perspective, this is the punchline, one of the punchlines for this message. Very short. It is impossible for God to lie. Can we say that all together? It is impossible for God to lie. So, brothers and sisters, this is so comforting to you and to me. When God makes a promise to you and to me, very, very sure it will come to pass. The only question is when, right? When, okay? Because you and I are people of impatient nature. We are so used to the instant. Am I correct? Just what Pastor Benji mentioned about that bank teller and the customer, see? Wants to be everything fast. We don't like to wait. We don't like the process. But what the guarantee is, it is impossible for God to lie. And therefore, this morning, I'd like to submit to you this about our God. Intimacy with our covenant God. Now that you and I are going to year 2017, this will now be something regarding our God that can be at the back of our mind and in our heart that will allow us to traverse 2017 knowing that we are in good hands. Knowing that when you and I, in spite of whatever difficulties we will face, the uncertainty of 2017, we know we have a good backer. And our backer is a covenant God. Now, let me take you through some of... First of all, I'd like to define what covenant is. Why do we call him, our God, a covenant God? Now, let me submit this to you. First of all, a covenant is a unique relationship of God with his people. Let me ask you a question. Are you God's people?
Yes.
Yes, therefore, this applies to you and to me, because we are all God's people here. A unique relationship of God with his people with intimate fellowship. Notice, intimate fellowship in mutual love. Can you imagine that? God loves you and me, and then he also has an intimate fellowship with you and me. And notice, it is unique. No human organization, no human being kinda can approximate God's covenant with you and me. It is exclusively for God to give to you and to me. Next definition is this. Agreement with binding terms and conditions to end hostilities and bond friendship. Why? Because formerly, you and I are enemies of God. You agree? We are sinners. That's why we are enemies of God. But because Jesus Christ died for you, died for me, and we are washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, all hostilities ceased. And there is a bond of friendship now between us and God. That's why he goes into a covenant with you and to me. Another is this. Covenant means security and guarantee that gives God's people a hold upon God. Notice, as God obligates himself to us. It is God who initiates. It is God who says, I am committed to you. I like to be committed to you because I love you. Can you imagine that? It is voluntary. God is never forced to do or go into a covenant with you and to me. He has considered you and me his own, his belonging. Okay? Now, with that, very easy for you and I to recall. How many of you are familiar with the MRT in the Philippines? MRT. How many of you are not? Anyway, very easy. I just change it. When you think of covenant God, it is MRK. Right? MRK. What is M? Covenant making God. What is R? A covenant remembering God. What is K? Covenant keeping God. MRK. How easy to remember, right? You will never forget it, guaranteed. You will never forget it for the rest of your life. Guaranteed that. Okay? If you forget it, it's not my fault. Okay? Anyway, let's see. We start first with our covenant-making God. You like to read with me together? I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. But Abraham said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? God took him outside and said, look up, count the stars, so your offspring be. Notice, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. I'd like to make a point here. Even Abraham's believing God's promise, that by grace, God gave Abraham grace for Abraham to believe what God has spoken to him. And then because Abraham believed, notice what it says, credited to him as righteous. In other words, immediately he became born again because of believing in the Lord, in God. Okay? Our covenant-making God, let's now look at the difference. God always initiates by choosing and calling. Man, on the other hand, reciprocates by believing, okay, and that faith that results in obedience. Okay? But even that, as I said, even believing is by grace. And we find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, right? It is a gift from God, faith. This is what I like about this. When God makes a covenant with you and me, he puts a stamp of approval. Like, he puts a brand which can never be erased. Right? And that is exactly what God, our covenant-making God, does with you and me. He puts his brand of ownership. He puts his brand of love. Okay? And what is our response? We get bound up to God in a covenant relationship. Okay? For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, and having chosen them, he called them to come to him. Now, I'd like to share with you how God made a covenant with me. I was born in Manhattan, New York, okay? And I was born 7 months premature. And I was in the incubator for 1 month. And then when I recovered, 6 months after, my parents went back to Manila. Never went back to the United States. So I am a U.S. citizen by birth. Okay? Now, even that, I saw the hand of God because he used President Eisenhower. President Eisenhower at the time was very strict about immigrants. Once your visas expired, then you have to go home. You see, my dad took his master's in New York University. He graduated with a master's of commercial law. My mom, she was working as a pharmacist in Pfizer, New York. That's why they met together, and I was born, okay, fortunately. Okay. So that, and then they went home. And then I lived in Manila, in the Philippines. I lived a not good life, you know, when I was growing up. Let me show of hands. How many of you have experienced near-death experience? Raise your hands. You almost died. Almost died. Only a few? Okay. That means those who did not raise your hands, seemingly you are saints. Anyway, one, this was in college. We went on a yachting trip off the coast of Cavite. I was with a group of guys and girls, college group. We were drinking. I was dead drunk already. And then when it's about lunchtime, some of the ladies said, the girl said, "Oh, why don't you take out the soft drinks?" I said, "Wow, I forgot the soft drinks at the car." Our car was parked at Manila Yacht Club. So, I mean, we cannot go back, right? So, oops, I said, I know what. Because the yacht somehow anchored 1 mile or half a mile offshore. And I said, "I'm going to swim to shore and buy us soft drinks." You see, at that time I was a competitive swimmer. So okay. So then one of my friends said, he's also kind of drunk, said, "Okay, I'm going with you." So we dove, and then you know, doing some backstroke, etc. And then you know what? We saw a motor banca speeding towards us. Okay? Speeding towards us. By the way, let me see a show of hands. How many of you were ever cursed before? You were cursed. Cursed. You were cursed. Unprintables. Okay? How many of you, when you were cursed at that time, enjoyed being cursed? Huh? You mean I'm the only one raising my hand? I enjoyed it. You know why? Because we were dead drunk. You know, when they went by our side, we got almost, you know, you call it run over by the bank. And then they cursed us. And I was so happy. You know why? Their curse was this: "Are you out of your mind? Do you want to die? Do you know that this is a shark-infested area? You know, just the other day, there were some people who were, you know, hurt here. And all of a sudden, you know, I became sober." Oh my goodness, I said, "Wow," you know. But then I said, "Thanks for the curse." Yeah. And they pulled us out of the water. Looking back, God has covenanted himself with me. Because he could have let me be eaten by the shark, and I would be burning in hell for all eternity from that day. That was 1972 up to now and forever. But you see, brothers and sisters, because God is a covenant-making God. I wasn't saved at that time. I was saved in 1986. But in 1972, because of my recklessness, because of my, you know, wanton way of living, God still protected me. Now, I am sharing this with you. Please do not use it as a license to sin. Okay? Just because God has covenanted with you doesn't mean that you will live recklessly your life. I had no connection with God at that time. That's why I'm sharing that with you. He is a covenant-making God. Okay? If not for those fishermen, I would not be here standing in front of you today. Question mark. What on earth allowed those busy fishermen to take time out to go to us offshore? Anybody can guess? Yeah, yeah. But the real, why do you think? You know what, that question, yes, we can explain this God's sovereign, etc. But you know, that's one of the questions I'll ask the Lord when I meet him face to face. I say, Lord, what really happened with those fishermen? I'd like to ask him that question. Now we go to our covenant remembering God. Abraham fell down. Can you read this for me, please? Okay, so here we see God remembered. Between Abraham and Sarah, they seem to forget because the child was not coming, right? But you see, God does not forget and he does not lie. He remembers. God does not forget, does not change his mind regarding his promises. Okay? Man should not forget God's history with us. His past covenant faithfulness to us. That's why it's good for you and me to have a journal. Okay? We write all of the histories with God so that you and I cannot forget. So that in our down moments, that will help us remember, oh, God is good. Oh, he never leave me. He never forsook me, etc., etc., etc. We always open that journal. 90% of our journal, my wife and me, 90% of our journal is written in our hearts by the grace of God. You know, it's in our hearts. Our covenant remembering God reminds us of his promise to us in his word. Pray and claim God's promises in his word. Do you know God's word? Have you memorized God's word? My suggestion to you is, memorize God's word, because that's going to help. Okay? You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Question, how many of you are praying for your loved ones right now, that they will be saved, that they will come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? How many? Those of you who raise your hands, how many of you are praying for your loved ones, let's say for 5 years or less? 5 years or less, okay. How many of you are still praying 6 years up to 10 years, your loved ones, okay? How many are still praying 11 years onward? Very good. Okay. This promise God remembered for my own father. See, my father lived a sinful life. And so he thought that his life and his sins cannot be forgiven anymore. And I prayed for my father for 13 long years. 13. And I would even, pray with verses. Like Pastor Benji used the verse in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. I put my father's name there. My father's name, nickname is Pete, P-E-T-E. So I put his name. Pete's heart is in the hands of the Lord, and he directs it like a water course wherever he pleases. So then I put his name here. That the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand. Indeed, he is patient with Pete, not wanting Pete to perish, but Pete to come to repentance. I personalize it, God's promise. And then I take God by his word. Lord, you said, right? My father. In 13 years, when he was about to die, went to the province, and then when I shared the gospel with him, Jesus Christ, when it came to the verse, James 2:10, it says, I told my dad, Daddy, there is no sin that is too big that Jesus could not forgive. There is no sin that is too big that Jesus did not die for. He sobbed like a baby. He cried like a baby, you know. And then he prayed to receive Christ. He could hardly talk. My wife, Cecile, wrote the sinner's prayer. And then I asked him to read. And then when I asked him, Daddy, where is Jesus in relation to you? In my heart. That's what he said. He was hardly able to talk. And I said, praise God. God is a God, a covenant, remembering God. Okay? Praise God. Thank you. Now we go to the next. Our covenant-keeping God. Okay, can you read this for me, please? Thank you. So, our covenant-keeping God, he secures, guarantees, and fulfills his promises. Man enjoys the privileges and benefits of God's promises if they keep the covenant through obedience. We also have a part, right? That we have to be obedient also to God, right? Because there's a verse that also says, God blesses those who are obedient to him. Those that are disobedient, they are also cursed. Okay? So we have to strike that balance. But be assured that God keeps his covenant with you and me. Praise read this. Okay, our covenant-keeping God. Now, let me give you a story again. And I have permission from my wife to share this with you. Okay. Some years ago, we were gifted by her parents with a house and lot. Because both of us are only child. Therefore, she will inherit the house and lot. Now, when it was given to us, and our parents already are not around, there is one problem. We had to settle the estate tax. I don't know if you have estate tax here. Okay. So this was years ago. The guesstimate, okay, was 160,000 pesos. If I convert that to the rate now in Canadian dollars, I think that's about 4,000 Canadian dollars. But this was several years ago. So that must be higher. And so we said, Lord, thank you for the gift, but there's a problem or there's a challenge. So God led us to this verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So the wisdom that God gave us is, why don't you go to the office, the tax office, and ask really how much? And you might like to ask for amnesty, tax amnesty. So I went, and then I inquired, And there was this officer who wanted to help. And he said, it's 160,000, okay? But you know what? I can help you. Oh yes, how? Just pay 25%, but no receipt. I said, oh, you know, sir, thank you so much. But you see, I'm a Christian. I can't do that. Oh, I'm also a Christian. And he said, you know what? The one that you're going to give me, the 25%, I'm going to give it to my church. Wow, I said, but you know, sorry, I can't do that. We would really like to pay the 160. We will trust God to give us that. Okay. And then he said, okay. And then when we were about to leave, he gave us a warning. He said, you know what? That offer is only good for 1 month. After that, when you come back here on the 31st day, your penalty is increased even further. I said, okay, thank you. So we left. And then we were confronted now. That's why the second verse is very, very important to us as well. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. We said, Lord, this is your battle. This is not our battle. You see, you gave us something to steward, which is your house and lot, but at the same time, the battle is for you to provide, okay? We cannot. And so, what happened was, so we claimed the last verse. See, that's the reason why I'm saying you need to know the promises of God. You need to know God's covenant with you and me so that we can claim, we can, you know, we can pick, and then we can hang on with dear life. So we said, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you the question, is this a need or a want? Is it a need or a want? Oh, you don't know the answer. This is a need because this is housing, right? It is not luxury. It's not, and it is tax. And we don't like to avoid tax. So we have to pay, right? You know what God did? almost the deadline, I received a phone call from my dad. Okay? He said, Dad, Joey, can you help me? I said, help? What do you mean help? I have a deed of sale, okay, because one of my fish ponds is going to be taken back by the bank, okay? It's going to be repossessed because I couldn't pay my loan. Okay, so what do you want me to do? I want you to help me let your mom sign the deed of sale so that I can sell it. And then I'm going to give you all of the proceeds. In my mind, really? Really? You know why he's asking me? I mean, not to paint a bad picture of my dad, but you know why he is asking me to help him with my mom? Because he has made false promises with my mom. Okay? Remember, it's conjugal? So when my mom will sign, and then there's going to be a sale, the promised, love gift to my mom doesn't come. There are a lot of broken promises. So he figured out that maybe I am credible with my mom. So he asked my help. I said, sure, okay. So I asked my mom to sign. So she signed, gave it back to my dad. And then my dad said, thank you. And then next week, I'm going to give you payment. Okay. Then I just forgot about it. Lo and behold, 1 week after, my phone rang. It was my dad. He said, Joey, let's meet. I have a check for you. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's meet. So, and then he handed me the check. I looked at the check. It's exactly the amount we needed. Okay? It's exactly the amount we needed. Less tithes. It comes out to 160. Okay? So I thank my dad, and then I went to the bank and then I deposited it. Okay? I was so happy and then suddenly I became sad. Have you ever experienced that? You were so happy and then suddenly you become sad. You know, I became sad. I said, is this check funded? You know? So I, all of a sudden, you know, my countenance was affected. Why? Because if he can do that to my mom, he could possibly do that to me. Am I correct? Do you see the logic? Oh, okay, so, but then, so that was the suspenseful three days. Kasi 3 days clearing, di ba? On the third day, you know, I pick up the phone, you know, cleared. Okay, so I cash it, paid, and then when we had the complete papers, freed of you know, encumbrance, whatever you call it, we passed by the officer's table. I said, you know what, sir? See, our God is faithful. He provided all the funds. Then he said, okay. By the way, if you have friends who need help, please refer me. Oh my God, I said, okay. That's why, notice what it says here. You and I have to hold on to our covenant God. Okay? Why? Because we have a personal relationship with Him. Right? We can only hold on to Him, but in the beginning, God will hold on to us. But we can also hold because of the personal relationship that He has bestowed to you and to me. And then you and I have to hold on to His promises. Okay? And there are a lot of promises that I have mentioned a while ago, which my wife and me and our family held on to dear life, with dear life. Okay? This is very important. Can you read this for me? Okay. See, thy word is like a lamp. It helps us find our way in this dark world. Okay? The lamp illuminates our path. It's like our spiritual GPS. It's our navigational guide in this dark world. Because we are bombarded by the world. We tend to be boxed in compromises or maybe even the world's way of deciding. But when you and I know the word of God, okay, you and I can live it out. And what's the path? First of all, if you look at the feet, our feet means it must not stagnate. It must not be in atrophy. We have to walk by faith. We have to exercise our faith muscles, walking by faith and not by sight. Because you and I can be petrified by the challenges and by the struggles that we may be faced with, and it is going to make us immobile. What the Word of God says, let's use it, let's walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, this is not a hit. This is not a hit or miss, because we are banking on the Word of God, which is true. Okay? Now, my question is, do you and I know God's Word? Let me give you a spiritual discipline that was taught to me early on in my days as a believer. And I can share this with you. Read one chapter of Proverbs a day. So today is January 1. Read Proverbs chapter 1. And whatever strikes you, just highlight in your Bible. Tomorrow, read Proverbs chapter 2. And then read it for the rest of your life. It's going to make you wise. It's going to give you a lot of wisdom. And if you're still wanting to add to your spiritual discipline, read one chapter of Psalms a day. So today is Psalm 1 plus 30 equals Psalm 31 plus 30 equals Psalm 61 plus 30 equals Psalm 91 plus 30 equals Psalm 121. In other words, 5 chapters of Psalm a day. Do that for the rest of your life. My wife and I have countless decisions made. Major, major, major decisions that is based on the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms. Because when we are in question with God, we say, Lord, can you help us? Can you guide us? And then we go to our Proverbs, we go to our Psalm, then it will come out. I can preach here up to midnight tonight and I will still not finish the memorial stones that God has put in our life. Just relying on His word, the promises, and how He speaks to me and to my wife. Okay? So that's my New Year, what do you call that? Pabaon. Okay? Okay, now let's see. God's promises are like the stars. The darker the night, the brighter they shine. Can you read this, please? Okay, this, brothers and sisters, shows the timeline of our life. Where we will be born, where we're going to live, who we are going to marry, who are we as a family, etc., etc., the timeline of our life. That's the reason why I believe that God brought me to the Philippines so that I can meet my wife and marry her. And then also here, God, in the Philippines, God used me to be able to become full-time in the ministry. See, if I was in the States, I lived there, probably I will not be Christian. Okay, that's why this. Now, I do not know your timeline, but God knows your timeline. But look at this one. Okay, is it all right if I allow you to stretch your legs? Those of you who can stand up, kindly stand up. I will let you read something, okay? This is taken from Rick Warren. You might have seen this already. But this is in connection with this, the appointed time in history in our life and boundaries in our land, okay? So kindly read this together as I show you. Okay, and before you read, please put your name. So if I am Pastor Benji, I will put here, Benji is not an accident. Benji's birth is no mistake. Benji's parents may not have planned. Do you get the picture? Yes. Put your nickname in the I am or mine. Okay? Are you ready? You can read, please. Joey is not an accident. Joey's birth is no mistake. Joey's parents may not have planned Joey, but God did. Long before time began, Joey was conceived in the mind of God. He thought of Joey first. It is not fate, nor chance, nor luck, nor coincidence that Joey is breathing at this very moment. Joey is alive because God wanted to create Joey. Okay, second slide. Let's continue. Because God made Joey for a reason, He also decided when Joey would be born, how long Joey would live. God also planned where Joey will be born and where Joey will live. My race and nationality are no accident. God left no detail to chance. God decided how Joey would be born. Last slide. Okay. Regardless of the circumstances of Joey's birth or who Joey's parents are, good, bad, or indifferent, God had a plan in creating Joey. Many children are unplanned by their parents, but they are not unplanned by God. God never does anything accidentally, and He never makes mistakes. Thank you. Please be seated. The Lord is trustworthy in all He promises and faithful in all He does. Why? Because He is a covenant-making God. He is a covenant-remembering God. And He is a covenant-keeping God. In other words, God is 100% reliable. He does not have a default mode. Okay? Meaning, He can change. He can, okay? By the way, do you like to know the story? Okay, I almost forgot. Okay, I almost forgot. But before I share that, let me show you something. This might describe your life, okay? Maybe the happy times of your life, okay? Let me show you a picture. Do you like to see the picture of your life like this? Very serene, you know, peaceful, etc. Is there a place in BC that is something like this during the summer? Huh? Okay. So you can paint it as a picture like that, right? Okay. So the couple, okay, the couple that trusted the family, this is also a picture of their countenance. Okay? I don't know about you also. There will be times this is the picture of your countenance. And then there's going to be disappointment. There's going to be hurt. Right? There's going to be, like in that case, there's betrayal. There's a break of trust. So what happens to this painting? Suddenly, it becomes like that. Right? The challenges and, you know, all of those. So is it a nice life now because of that? No. Okay. But you see, we have a covenant-keeping God. That is the crux of the matter. And that, I believe, is what sets you and me apart from the children of the world. We are God's children. And therefore, no matter what happens, because we have a covenant-keeping God, this is now what will happen to the countenance or the outcome of our life. Do you see that? You see that? Now, let me go to the true story. Okay? You know, you like the couple and that? You see, there are the excess. These are the challenges in our life, etc. And then there's going to be shade because God is going to come into the picture. And then there's going to be the shade of the fruit. There's going to be blessings that come out of the trials, the challenges, the struggles. Okay? So, the couple is my wife and me. Okay? We now reveal the identity. Okay? So, it says, we are betrayed as the remaining six-figure amounts of share were not remitted to us per agreement. Okay? So, the shade is, we were strengthened by covenant-keeping God. We learned to forgive those who broke promise due us. We forgive them up to this day. We are praying for them. And you know what our prayer is? Lord, will you forgive them? Will you bless them so that their accountability towards you and towards us will be erased? Because until they have not paid that, it is going to be on them. The Lord, by His grace, has replaced that amount many times over to us already. But what we are wanting is that their accountability before God be removed. Okay? And then shade with fruit, through the amount, initial amounts that we received, God allowed us to complete our seven-figure CCF Building Fund pledge. So what happened was the loss became an investment. Okay? Now, I have the permission of my wife to share this, okay, the next segments, and it will also tell the story of our life. In our early years of marriage, I was a wife beater. I beat up my wife, and her sinful reaction was she became unfaithful to me. Tit for tat. I rightly deserve it, okay? So that is something that is dark ages of our life. What is the shade? God saved us and our marriage, because that happened, we were not yet in the Lord. We repented of our own sinfulness and we forgave each other. And because of that, the shade with the fruit, burden to help troubled marriages through counseling and couples retreats. On our 38th wedding anniversary, on October 10, last year, we were in Big Bear Lake in California celebrating our 38th wedding anniversary. How many of you have ever gone to Big Bear Lake, San Bernardino Mountains? I tell you, it's nice, nice, nice out there. It also snows there, okay? Anyway, now here, as parents, okay? Joe and by the way, how many of you are parents here? Raise your hands. Your parents. Okay. So I think you will relate with us. All parents mean well. We intentionally imparted biblical principles to our kids, but not with spirit-led delivery system. Okay? Can I say it in Tagalog? In English, it is called strong arrive. You know what strong arrive is? Sa Tagalog, lakas ang dating. Okay, so now you get the picture. Did I get you lost? What I'm saying is we have a strong abrasive style. Abrasive, okay? And then we were somewhat uptight and dogmatic that it exasperated our children. It is completely described in Ephesians 6:4. Because Ephesians 6:4 says, children, do not exasperate. Okay? Okay. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. That is Ephesians 6:4. Can I plug in an advertisement for you? Okay. Because my lifestyle in drugs and alcohol before, I lost my memory. I really lost my memory. And you know what, how it came back? My discipler at that time said, Joey, you want your memory to come back? Memorize scriptures. So I memorized one scripture a week. And my memory, by the grace of God today, is much, much better than before I went into drugs. And God is going to do that the same with you. Memorize scriptures. And that's going to give you, okay, so here it is. The shade is when we felt relational distance between us and our children, we were led to ongoing repentance. Unconditional love with loving discipline, respect, forgive, ask forgiveness from them, and then we also create a safe environment with our children. And then what happened after that? Because of that, here now is the fruit. All our children admitted and realized that we were all right all along. And now that we softened up toward them in our manner of interacting with them, now they ask us advice and guidance through confirmation from God's word. Okay, so I'd like to call my son Raymond, and he'll say something about how he has experienced this.
Good morning and Happy New Year. I was exposed to both Christian and secular environments as I was growing up. Although biblical principles and convictions were taught to us, I decided for myself what seemed right in my own eyes and disregarded all the Bible knowledge and didn't apply them. I chose to have my own identity and live the world's way. My heart was far from God, motivated only by my self-will. I had a string of disapproved relationships for the past 16 years, even if this were with Christian girls, because their walk did not match their talk, just like me. I was a disappointment to both God and my parents because I couldn't trust anyone but myself in pursuing what would make me feel good. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Ironically, instead of feeling good, I actually deprived myself of receiving firsthand blessings from our covenant God. With a strained relationship with my family, my life became miserable. Proverbs 12:3, a man will not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will not be moved. In early 2016, just last year, I felt God's unconditional love through my parents, despite my rebellious actions. The Lord changed the hearts of my parents in their way of correcting me. I came to my senses and repented of my sin of disobedience. Today, I am blessed with a renewed relationship with God and parents as I already trust them completely, even with the selection of my future wife, with the confirmation of God's word. So I will never again exchange the life I have now with the life I had before. Now Jesus is the Lord of my life. He enables me to live right with Him and my family by His grace. Only our covenant God could have made the wrong things right in my life. To God be the glory.
And so in closing, thank you, son. In closing, this is our big family. Why big? Because both of us are only children. So on the extreme left, that's me, and then Cecile, my wife. That's Raymond. That's Esther. And then that's Cheryl, our daughter, with Arely, who is now 3 years old. And then our grandson, Riley, who is 6. And that's our son-in-law, Carlo. Okay? That's our family now. They kind of are sometimes complaining they don't have first cousins. Okay. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Why? Because we have a covenant God. So what is MRK again? Our God is what? A covenant what? Making God. A covenant remembering God. And a covenant keeping God. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your word that really is true. You are a God who does not lie. You're a God who always is after our best interest here as well as in eternity. So Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here who somehow are challenged now, maybe in terms of health, relationship, finances, career, whatever it may be, Lord. We know that you know all of this, and only in your hands are the blessings and the answers for them. So it is my prayer that they will hold fast unto you, because you are a God who will never disappoint those who call on your name and those who are personally related with you. So Father, will you bless each and everybody here, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and financially. And let their lives always bring honor and glory to your name. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.